All right, welcome to a new episode of Piecing It Together, the podcast where we take a look at a new movie and try to figure out what movies inspired it. And it's been a few days since our last episode. Not really a break or anything like that. I mean, it was just Friday, but we were trying to get an episode up on Monday. Couldn't make it happen between the holiday and getting the house cleaned. Then we tried to get it up on Wednesday. We figured, what's a couple days late? Still couldn't get it. I just couldn't seem to get back on track after everything I was doing. But here we are. It's Friday. It's a new episode. Oh my God, only one episode during the week. How is the world going to survive with only one episode of Piecing It Together? I don't know. We'll probably be back with three episodes next week. We'll see what happens. But anyway, today we're talking about The Peanut Butter Falcon, which is just an amazingly sweet and great movie. It stars Shia LaBeouf, Dakota Johnson, Zach Gottsagen, and directed by Tyler Nilsson and Michael Schwartz, about a guy with Down syndrome who runs away from his care facility and ends up teaming up with Shia LaBeouf's character to go on a journey to a wrestling school that he has obsessed over. And it's the sweetest movie, and I absolutely loved it, and I was really glad to get a chance to talk about it with returning co-host Chad Clinton Freeman, who hasn't been on the show for a while. So glad to have Chad on the show, and he gets to do a little bonus conversation at the end as well, because he had to sit out some movies he was supposed to cover. I'm not going to tell you right now what they are, but we'll get to it at the end of the conversation. So with that said, let's get into it. Before we do, I want to remind you, make sure you're subscribed to Piecing It Together on your podcast app of choice, and rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Follow us on social media at Piecing Pod. Join the Facebook group Popcorn and Puzzle Pieces. And yeah, that's enough. Let's get into the conversation. All right, so back with us. It's been a while, but our buddy Chad Clinton Freeman is back. How's it going, Chad?
I am doing good. Yes, I am back finally.
How you feeling?
I'm feeling good. Feeling good.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah. Of course, I was supposed to be back on the show to visit the new Tarantino movie, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. But actually, the day that it came out, I had to have eye surgery. So I was actually not seeing anything for about 10 days, really. So, yeah, it was not fun. Still healing with the eye surgery, but I had a detached retina. But I'm getting better, getting there. So
I'm glad that everything's healing up, it sounds like, and you're finally getting back out to the movies. And after we finish talking about Peanut Butter Falcon, maybe we'll give you a little chance to just give your brief thoughts on Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, because quite frankly, I don't even want to hear your thoughts that much on it, because I know how much you hated it. But we'll get to that a little bit later. Right now, we're talking about The Peanut Butter Falcon,
yes,
which is a movie I think we both loved.
Yeah. No, definitely,
yeah.
Yeah. Shia LaBeouf, so I went in with high expectations, the movie delivered, so I was very happy.
I did not have high expectations going in. I thought that this was going to be just too precious, you know what I mean? Like, just
right.
Too overly sweet and just kind of goofy, like, and I was shocked. I absolutely loved it. I mean, it's definitely one of the better movies I've seen this year. I mean, I think it hit all the points perfectly of the line that it's trying to ride and the story it's trying to tell.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just it's great. And I mean, this is first time filmmakers, which I think is crazy. They've done a few shorts and that's
right.
It. That's just wild. But you know, we'll get into that and more of that as we're going through some puzzle pieces. I know you have quite a bit more than me today, so let's jump into your first puzzle piece.
Okay, so the first one for me, I was thinking of this movie as I watched this one, and then at the end, as soon as the credits hit, I had the same reaction when I saw this movie as I did this one. So it's Hunt for the Wilder People, which is also a odd couple like adventure movie. Mm-hmm. Both movies, as soon as the credits hit, there was just something so sweet about them that I actually cried. This movie made me cry. It was just such a sweet movie. Like you said, it wasn't too sweet, but it was a very, very sweet, very, very good-hearted movie. And Hunt for the Wilder People is a kid who he's basically you know, a foster kid nobody wants. He finally finds a family that he likes to be with, but the mother passes away. The dad's just this grumpy old guy, so the kid decides he's going to run away. And I don't remember exactly, but something happened. The guy ended up running away too, and it ends up being just like them out in the woods. And at first they don't like each other, and then there's this weird bond between them, and it's just a very, very you know, it's sort of a take on you know, outlaw guy on the run type movie. There was a scene in here that was very, very much reminding me of it, because there's a moment in Hunt for the Wilder People where they're ducking down on this hill, and these people that are looking for them go by, and the little kid, he goes over to, he says to the guy, he's like this is just like in Lord of the Rings, and he's like so excited. And the moment in the Peanut Butter Falcon, whenever they're ducked down in the boat, whenever Shy doesn't know that the guy is there, and then all of a sudden he sneezes, and then he's like, what the, and he, you know, hushes him. That moment there, it just reminded me a lot of that moment in that movie. But yeah, both very, very great, very, very sweet movies. And this one's even, like, to me was even better, and even just sweeter, and not too sweet. I the more I thought about this movie, it's kind of a perfect movie, because it really says a lot. It does. And it is very, 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 very sweet. It is.
Yeah. Well, you know, this is a good time for me to admit that other than Thor Ragnarok, I have actually not seen any Taika Waititi films, which is insane. I know. I completely understand that. I will probably do my best. As we know, I don't watch many movies at home, but I will do my best to at least watch a couple of them before his new one comes out. Was it Jojo Rabbit?
Hunt for Wilder People, I definitely recommend. I actually saw that one at the theater. We had some day where they sent us home at work in Vegas, and I was like, I'm going to the movie, and I didn't even know anything about it, and I went and saw it, and I was like, wow, it's great. So
yeah. Well, you know, that being said, while I haven't seen Hunt for the Wilder People, I have, like, I'm aware of it, and I absolutely could picture that being a great puzzle piece from, like, what I know of the movie. It totally seems to have that same kind of a feeling with that interesting. I think, like, the you know, the idea of, like, a kind of odd couple buddy thing going on this, like, kind of odyssey adventure, you know, is going to come up in a lot of puzzle pieces along
the
way.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, speaking of which, I'm going to go with my first puzzle piece, which, you know, again, this is, like, kind of like taking, like, the buddy formula and doing something really interesting and different with it that has never quite been done before. The combination of a man with Down syndrome and Shia LaBeouf, specifically.
Shia LaBeouf pretty much playing Shia LaBeouf. Pretty
100%,
much.
100%. 100%. So, I mean, that's definitely a combo that we have not seen on screen before, and I was reminded of another combo I had never seen on screen before, and that is the combo in Swiss Army Man, which is just a total weirdo and a dead guy.
Right?
which it's like, where exactly do you come up with that combination? But once it's there, once they're playing off each other in their weird little ways, it's just kind of perfect. There's so much story there. There's so much comedy to mine from it, and it really, really drives the thing in and makes it such an interesting pairing that I could have watched this movie for another hour. I mean, the pairing of these two people, there's so much there. There's so much to do with them. And I just think it's great. And we all know how much I love Swiss Army Man.
Yeah. You know what? I didn't think of that movie, but here's the other element that really is, a couple of elements actually very much kind of like that one, is this one, there's some creativity in this movie that, you know, they build this raft, you know, they put all this stuff together and they build this raft, and you've got that, like, creativity like that in Swiss Army Man, of course, mostly with the dead guy, but but still, just the no matter what the situation is, it's like they're going to work around it. You know what I mean? And they're going to get where they need to get. And there's just something great about that. Just very empowering and also just fun, you know?
Yeah.
Like one of the things that I read is that, I mean, of course, Mark Twain's mentioned in the movie, but Mark Twain, I guess, was an inspiration for this. And I definitely see that. And I think now that I think about it, I think that Mark Twain was an inspiration for Swiss Army Man as well.
Right, right.
And I never even thought about it, but no, that's definitely a great puzzle piece.
Yeah. You know what? One thing that I think that's such a great point is it kind of, it creates almost like a safety net, where it's like, you just know that these people, like, you know, yes, there's still tension to some of the drama and the action beats, but it's like, you just know that things are going to be all right. Cause these guys, they could kind of get through anything.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And like I said, I mean, that's like, just a really like wonderful feeling that it gives you, that it's like when you watch a movie like that it's just like, they can do anything. And then it makes, and then you're like, well, look at them. I mean, I can do anything, you know, it's a very, empowering thing.
Sure.
So yeah, very, very cool.
Absolutely. One more note before we go to your next puzzle piece. I hadn't even thought of this when I wrote down Swiss Army Man, but another basically debut film from two directors. Mm. Interesting. But
speaking of the directors, though, I believe they were actors before this.
One of them was in a couple of Judd Apatow movies. I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I do know is that somehow they, I guess, had a relationship with Zach Gottsagen. I think that's how you say it.
Gottsagen, yeah.
Yeah. And actually, a lot of the film was basically like based on him and things that in their interactions with him. Like they went to some sort of acting camp or something with him, and
that's
a lot of it was you know, their involvement with him. And evidently, the title of the film even came from him.
Nice.
So, yeah, in a lot of ways, it sounded like that they owed a lot of the writing to him.
That's awesome. That's absolutely awesome. Yeah, and I love that. I love that this kid had, you know, this acting dream. And of course, I mean, let's be real. I mean, that's such a difficult thing in this world, you know,
right,
to actually make it when you have that kind of, that kind of disability. And
right.
You know, it's just awesome that this all kind of came together and they got such a great cast and just everything about it, you know?
Right. Yeah. No,
so,
totally.
So what do you got for your next puzzle piece?
Okay. So I got a lot of really good ones, actually. I'm going to save one of them. I think you might hit. So I'm going to save that one. This one is a movie, actually, I'd never heard of until about a year ago. Mm-hmm. Because I was asking people about what the first movie that they saw at a theater was, and Melanie, my girlfriend, she'd said Savannah Smiles was the first movie she ever saw at the theater. I'd never heard of this movie, 1982 movie. So I of course made sure, bought it for her on Blu-ray for Christmas, watched it, and this movie reminded me of it in a lot of ways. Savannah Smiles is almost like the reverse of Home Alone. It's a little girl who has like a rich family. She runs away from home. She ends up climbing into the car of some criminals. And so then they're just like, what do we do with this kid? And they actually, you know, it like makes them better people because they are actually care for this kid or trying to take care of her. And it's a very, very sweet movie. There's a lot of silliness in it, of sort of a Home Alone like silliness, goofiness that you don't see in movies anymore, like people chasing chickens and that sort of thing. but Savannah Smiles was definitely something that popped in my head as I was watching this movie. You know, because this movie, just like that movie, a lot of these movies probably that we talk about, even Hunt for the Wilder People, you know, it's really about opening up to other people and learning from them, and the beauty of that, of how much mm-hmm. you can learn from being around people that are different than you, and yeah. what they can give to you. You know, with this movie, Shia LaBeouf's character, you know, he's very much a broken man. He's hurting. He's grieving his brother. He has a lot of guilt. And I think he doubts himself as to, what is he?
Right.
You know, is he a scumbag? He doesn't know, am I a good guy? Am I a bad guy? And, yeah. through this relationship, it's like love for this yeah. other character that he becomes, this better person, and then also finds love, with the Dakota Johnson character. So
yeah, absolutely. No, that, and I'm trying to think, that movie sounds so freaking familiar, Savannah Smiles, like that you describing it. I'm like, I feel like I've seen that movie, like, back in the day, a million years ago.
Yeah, you might have. I'd never heard of it, never seen it. And I was like, what is that? And then I was like, it's on Blu-ray? It's like MVD releasing retro. They do like a retro thing, and it starts off when you put it in like it's videotape. It's all staticky and stuff.
Nice.
I was really, really shocked in watching it, because it was a fun, that goofiness of like Superman the movie with Lex Luthor and the other guy, that just
sure.
like hokiness, like 80s hokiness, that's not in movies anymore. Anyway, that's how Savannah Smiles, a lot of that's in there.
Beautiful. Like I said, I feel like I've seen it, but I don't know. It's possible, but great public piece, regardless of if I've seen it or not. I'll go with my next one, and to bring up the whole Odyssey thing again, I'm going to go with the Coen Brothers' Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? Which, is another movie in which of course we don't deal with music in this movie, but where you've just got these interesting characters on this journey mm-hmm. through the South,
right.
and all the trials and tribulations they go through, mm-hmm. all of the weirdo characters that they interact with along the way, and then just the beauty, like really kind of showcasing just how beautiful that off-road, South can be,
right.
And of course, an amazing movie. And actually, I should say that this movie had a really great score, a really great soundtrack. But certainly not an Oh Brother, Where Art Thou style. But just a good soundtrack overall.
I've never seen that movie. I tried to watch it. I've never finished it.
Well, you should watch that, and I'll watch Savannah Smiles. So. What do you got for your next one?
So Odyssey, I'll go ahead and bring up one, two of these, because just the whole Odyssey element, especially when they meet the blind guy, just was very much reminded me of Clash of Titans. Pick one, it doesn't matter. Just
sure.
Going on this journey and meeting these people, and it's almost like there are these random characters that you meet, but it's almost like they play just as important part as mm-hmm. Every step of the way. And I just felt like this was very much sort of just an indie stripped down version of that, Clash of the Titans or Wizard of Oz even. Wizard of Oz, even so, with how, they're off to see the wizard, and the wizard ends up being a fake. And this one, they're off to see the wrestling school. They're off to meet the big wrestler, what was his name?
Saltwater Redneck.
Yes, Saltwater Redneck. And how, like, at first, that was just like a letdown, because the wrestling school, of course, because this guy's been watching videotapes from the 80s probably, and the wrestling school is no more. But anyway, so there was that Odyssey element, and then plus also that Odyssey where it was like, a letdown, like it of course that turned around, there is a twist there, but
sure.
But totally those two clicked in my head. Clash of Titans, but specifically the blind guy and
sure.
the blind witches, and then Wizard of Oz just with the, you know, the Oz. So
beautiful. Well, you know what? I know you've got a lot more than me, so why don't you go with another one before I go to my next one?
Well, so a couple that kind of tie in, not necessarily Odyssey, but close to that, but road trip mm-hmm. movies. Rain Man, of course. Mm-hmm. Of course, Rain Man is, you know, a guy that has, you know, I'm not even sure what his situation is, but obviously, mm-hmm. you know, some sort of mental issue that handicaps him in doing anything and everything by himself. And then the brother of his that is pretty much an asshole, who,
right.
You know, through this relationship and this bonding of them through their journey, you know, he actually becomes a better person. So Rain Man, I thought that was an easy one to think of. But
definitely.
I also was just thinking about other road trip movies, especially ones that I might not get to name on this show from time to time. Crossroads, the Britney Spears movie, again, it goes back to that sort of like letdown of here's this trip for this specific thing. And then that specific thing ends up being
sure.
like a downer type thing. But again, also just, any of these movies like this, Rain Man, Crossroads, there's also that same sort of element of like, it doesn't matter. It seems like what gets thrown at them. It's like, you know, car breaks down, whatever. It's like they just work around it. And I think that, yeah, that, and then also the just, you know, being creative the way they are in this movie. I think that is just a great lesson for people today to take in, that you don't see a lot of movies, you know, of people not giving up, people continuing their journey, continuing whatever, you know, their dream is, their hope, just keep moving along. The other one, because it's just too such an oddball road trip movie, and that's Guilt Trip, which I love. It's such a weird combo with Seth Rogen and Barbara Streisand, but I think that movie is great.
I completely forgot that movie existed until this moment. So, good
exactly.
job.
See, that's why I was like that. That's exactly why I was like, you know what? I'm gonna throw these in there.
Yeah, that's great. You know, and one thing before I go to my next one is I think the point that you just made about you don't see those kind of lessons in movies anymore, like about, you know, like just dealing with things and moving forward. You know, you don't see anything about a movie like this too much anymore.
Right,
I mean,
right.
this movie is really, in a lot of ways, it feels like something that could have been like a classic of like the 90s or maybe the
right.
early 2000s, you know?
Right.
And I just think that's so refreshing when a movie comes along like this that, you know, really, really cares about itself, you
right.
know, like it right. actually it's not like embarrassed to care, you know,
right.
And
that being said, it's like I think you were kind of worried it doesn't go into made for TV mushiness, like mm-hmm. oh my god, this is so just too much, you know.
Yeah.
it doesn't it walks that line, like you said, you know, it walks the line of actually caring, and it walks the line of exploitation in a lot of ways. I mean, it walks a lot of fine lines, and it balances it all somehow.
I think absolutely, and I think it's a great setup for my next puzzle piece, which I almost didn't want to use this one, but because I just used it on the Blinded by the Light episode, that this is going to be going up after. But you know, it's hard for me when a movie is this sweet and this quirky to not think of Little Miss Sunshine, and add in the fact that it's a road trip movie.
Right,
you know,
right.
I mean, I had to bring it up yet again. And that movie does go a little bit over the line as far as into that, like, just too twee, you know, silly, cutesy-wootsy mm-hmm. kind of a movie. But at the same time, it is exactly the kind of thing this is. I feel like the people who love Little Miss Sunshine would love this movie if they discover it. And I hope more people discover it. I hope this gets some kind of good word of mouth. That's part of the reason I really wanted to do this episode, is because I want more people to see this movie. I just think it's so great.
Right. No, yeah, Little Miss Sunshine is a good one. I'd actually forgot about that one too. I actually forgot that was a road trip movie. But yeah, Little Miss Sunshine, yeah, it's one of those that there's some really good in it, but oh, it does. It goes too sweet.
Right. Yes. It overdoes it, overcooks it. Yeah. But yeah, no, absolutely. So what do you got for your next one?
Well, I'll go ahead and go with actually one of my all-time favorite movies. What's Eating Gilbert Grape? Mm-hmm. Which, you know, of course, in it, Leonardo DiCaprio plays a character that's, you know, I don't even know what the correct term is anymore. What do we say?
Right.
You know, and not only that, it's very small town. It's very one specific thing that made me think of it outside of the obvious was the birthday element. What's Eating Gilbert Grape? One of the big events is, of course, Arnie's birthday. And he's, you know, invites people that he meets for his birthday party. And that's one of the things that Zach actually does too in this. And that I thought it was so hilarious. I don't remember what part it was, but he was like, "And you're not coming to my birthday party." I think it was a mean kid that was, I don't remember who he said that to.
No, it was, that's like the big line during the wrestling match, right? Before he,
That's right. Yeah. That's who it was. Yes. Okay.
It was Jake the Snake. He says it to, right?
Oh yes. That's right. Okay. So anyway, you know, and additionally, with, what's he doing, Gilbert Grape? You've got Johnny Depp's character. That's, again, he's a very broken person as well, and really not, you know, he's just kind of living, you know, he mm-hmm. doesn't have a purpose or anything like that. In a lot of ways, there's just a lot of similarities with that movie. What's Eating Gilbert Grape was a movie that the moment I saw it at the theater, it was actually my very favorite movie for so very long, actually, yeah, until Batman v Superman knocked it from the number one spot. But Leonardo DiCaprio, though, did a fantastic job in that movie with his performance. And it's really great, though, to see, because, you know, here's the thing. This movie in the 90s, it wouldn't have been made with... you know, Zach actually playing this character, I don't think.
Right.
And
I
at the
shudder
time,
to think.
At the time, well, that's the thing. If you think about it, Dustin yeah. Hoffman and Rain Man and Leonardo DiCaprio and What's Eating Gilbert yeah. Grape, those are like groundbreaking, really, as far as you know, portrayal of people, you know, in movies. I mean,
yeah.
Look at the big Oscar winner. Forrest Gump. I mean, come
oh
on.
Yeah, that was for the longest time. That was the big thing that got you an Oscar. I mean, they make fun of that in Tropic Thunder. You know,
so, So anyway, though, it's actually nice, though, to, you know, actually have somebody that's you know, Down syndrome actually in the role. I mean, part of the beauty of this movie, which is funny, because one of the things that, I know, Shia LaBeouf, he keeps saying that basically this movie changed his life. He's made him a better actor. Just working with Zach, he, has learned so much. He said, just like interacting with him. I mean, basically I think he went on this same journey, that his character did,
sure.
which is really, really cool. So,
yeah, supposedly he got arrested for public drunkenness during this, right?
Yep.
Yeah, so, yeah, he must have been in rare form, because Shia LaBeouf, just to begin with, yeah, you know, so, but, yeah, no, I absolutely, I You know, I had a feeling you would bring that movie up, What's Eating Gilbert Grape, because I know how much you love it. And yeah, I mean, great puzzle piece. And I absolutely love that they gave this guy a chance to you know, headline this movie, because it just wouldn't work today with you know, some big Hollywood celebrity actor right. trying to pull it off. So, I mean, and it would have totally been so distracting, and it would have totally upset that balance that we were talking about a little bit earlier of the riding that line mm-hmm. of, you know, exploitation. And I think it's just great the way they did it.
Right.
So yeah, I'm going to go with my next puzzle piece. Which is, you know, back to the whole wrestling angle. Mm-hmm. And I might be misremembering this movie a little bit. Okay, so let me just say that. I only saw it one time in the theater. I was probably about 20 when it came out.
Okay.
So maybe I'm forgetting it a little bit. But the David Arquette comedy, Ready to Rumble, weren't they on a journey to go find some wrestler that they loved, and not to be trained by him, but to just get him back into the ring and all that? And that's kind of a little bit, you know, along the same lines of the kind of thing Zach is looking for here.
You know, that's another one. I actually never saw that movie.
Okay. You're not missing much. Terrible, terrible movie. But I definitely remember laughing a little bit at it at the time. And just that idea of like this like faded glory wrestler and these random people that are fans wanting to go, like, you know, connect with them and
right.
kind of bring them back. That made me think of that movie.
Right. Well, I mean, and that's the thing, that's one of the beautiful things about this movie, is that, I mean, that fandom, that's in everything, you know? I mean,
sure.
everybody has, you know, that one or two or three people that they just obsess over, that they love, that one person is the greatest ever of whatever. And, you know, wrestling, movies, whatever.
I want to see the movie where Chad goes to Zack Snyder to get the Snyder cut. I want to see that movie. Puzzle pieces include Ready to Rumble and the Peanut Butter Falcon.
Yeah. Let me see here. Let me try to. Okay. So I've got a puzzle piece. This one, it's one of those that takes it in the more, well, not in the more, it takes it in the exploitive direction. Okay. But okay. I thought of it in watching this film, and that's the movie Rainbow Time. Which it was on Netflix for the longest time. My sister actually recommended this movie to me because she loved it. It's about a guy, I think he's Down syndrome, and he and his brother used to always make movies. They would record movies. You've got this videotape connection as well. And now in Rainbow Time, Shanzi, which is played by a guy who is not actually, he's acting. He does a great mm-hmm. job though. He really does. But, it's a very, very exploitive movie. Shanzi is a pervert. he likes to, watch people have sex, that sort of thing. So it's actually,
I love the poster. I'm looking at the poster right now. It's great.
it's actually a great exploitation movie. It's pretty freaking great. It is. Shanzi's obsessed with Fonzie. Rainbow Time, that's like the name of his video productions that he does. And he's a huge pervert, but anyway, definitely worth a watch. A lot different than this movie, but, still, sure. It did, make me, think of that movie.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah, no, I hadn't heard of this, but it sounds interesting. It's got a pretty good, it's got the, Jay Duplass and, Melanie Lynskey.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sounds good. Oh, Tobin Bell's in it.
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah.
Nice. All right, I'm going to go with my next puzzle piece. Actually, my last, unless something pops in my head, okay. But this is actually two movies together, and that is the Emil Hirsch vehicle Into the Wild and the Reese Witherspoon movie Wild. But both of them are just such great examples of, you know, like kind of just like a hiking wilderness kind of movie. And, you know, we kind of touched on it already a little bit, but this movie is just that spirit of just, you know, just keep going and keep going. Right. And they just keep finding ways around their environments and like to get through all these issues in the environment. And so there's plenty of movies like this, but those were the first two that like just kind of came to mind for me, you know?
Right. Yeah. And that's funny. I didn't think of those. Again, those are both kind of like Mark Twain kind of like movies in a way.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That, you know, really the only time outside of indie films, you know, because those are like big indie films as this is.
Sure.
You know what I mean? The indie films are indie spirit films anyway. Outside of those, the only time you see this sort of type of movie, I think, are in like Disney animated movies. Moana just comes to mind to me.
Sure.
Those are both good ones. Now I've got two that I kind of have as a pair. I thought for sure you were going to bring one of these up. It's funny because you probably thought I was going to bring Into the Wild. What's the Reese Witherspoon one called?
Wild.
Okay. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like that one. I saw that one at the theater. I did like that one.
Yeah.
The other thing is with that movie too, she's going through with that one. It's all her going through it mentally. With this one, Shia, his character, very similar to her though. He experiences the flashbacks like she does. And he has, you know, these other people though to interact with, because she's pretty much, I think if I remember right, isn't it pretty much her the whole movie?
Oh yeah, it's a one woman show, that movie, for the most part.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Yeah. So on the same vein of those movies, I think, and you're gonna be like, oh yeah, why didn't I think of that? Mud.
Okay. I completely did think of that. I completely did. I didn't write it down. No, yeah, I didn't write it down only because I started thinking and I was like, I guess I just was thinking like the point wasn't there, but absolutely, you're right though. The setting, the feeling of
absolutely. The cinematography. Beautiful cinematography in this movie. I loved it. That's what instantly reminded me of Mud. And then
it was
also,
almost a piece for me.
Also just because, like, you know, in Mud, Matthew McConaughey, his character is he's a very misunderstood person, just like Shia LaBeouf. And it's almost like in Mud, the only one that sees him for who he is the kid, you know? And it's kind of like that in this one too. It's like they're not judged the way society judges them, you know? They're judged for actually what's in them and their heart. And not only that, just the grittiness, the dirtiness, the muddiness, you know, the wetness, you know, that's what's great about this movie, and that movie, just very, very real, like setting, you know, it feels real, it throws you in there. And of course, Shia, he's great at getting dirty. He gets dirty plenty.
Everybody is dirty 100% of the time in these two movies.
And along with Mud, the other one that I think it still does connect a little, very similar. You could almost see this as a you could watch them as a triple feature, I think. And that's Joe. You know, the Nicolas Cage, David Gordon Green movie,
which I still haven't seen. That's a movie I've been wanting to watch forever.
It's good. I didn't love it. I would definitely put Mud above it, and then I would put this one above Mud. But the same sort of thing, though. I mean, it's actually the same guy, the same kid in Mud and Joe.
Right.
a broken man who just, for whatever reason, connects, you know, with this younger person. And, I truthfully, I don't remember even what happened with Joe. so I'm not going to say it's David Gordon Green. So I'm not going to say that it actually, you know, does the same thing. Sure. But it definitely has that element. So
sure, absolutely, absolutely. But yeah, no, that setting though is absolutely on point.
Yes, totally. In the same setting, the same dirtiness and filthiness. Of course, in Joe, it's always raining. You didn't have that in this one. I don't remember. I don't think mud was necessarily that rainy either. But definitely just the, you know, the whole dirty South, you know, dirty Southern, which I just love, though, to see in movies, especially when it's shot so beautifully.
Something that I could totally picture of having happened in Mud, but I don't think it did. But when the convenience store guy just gives him that bottle of whiskey, you look like you could use it more, you know, like that,
right.
That's great.
Well, so that's the thing, is that some of these people in this movie too, the bit part people, I love them. And I'm wondering if some of them aren't actors, like the guy in the convenience store. And then the guy early on who tells Shia to go home. They're just
oh,
so
he was great.
Yeah, they're just so real. They just seem like real people. And I was just wondering if those had actually been just real people that they had, you know, squeezed in there. I don't know though.
Almost gives a little bit of a Richard Linklater vibe of like, you know, mixing real people with these celebrities, you know.
Right.
Which by the way, also just real quick before moving on, great freaking supporting cast, like some people we didn't mention yet, Bruce Dern and John Hawks.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Both just incredible. John Hawks hasn't been in a lot lately. He like had this run for a while where he was in so many great movies, and he just hasn't been in that much. But he's awesome in this.
Yeah, and then the other guy, the saltwater redneck guy,
Thomas Hayden Church.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
that's great. And to me he is almost like a Kenny Powers when he drove up in the beat up Camaro with the music blaring.
Oh yeah, he was great. He's kind of like turned into this really interesting actor, like where he does these just strange parts. Like I don't know if you watch the show Divorce on HBO with Sarah Jessica Parker, but he's like the husband, and he's just so ridiculous on that show. And it like he's just really kind of gotten into this groove of just being just kind of a joke, kind of. Mm. But like it's just he's great though. He's really great.
Yeah, I thought in this he definitely like the way we meet him, and then for him to then put on that like I said, like a Kenny Powers persona.
Sure.
I thought it was really, really great. Instead of it just being that from the get go, you know. It was great the way, like I said, it's almost like a little twist there. It's a downer and then boom.
So, yeah, absolutely. Everything works out. So what do you got next?
Well, just a couple real quick, real specific thing that reminded me of Stand By Me was the scene where they almost get hit by the boat. Very similar. And again, you know, Stand By Me is a journey movie as well. That, you know, them on the railroad tracks, just that scene brought me back to that and Stand By Me. And again, Stand By Me is one of those with, you know, kids being real kids and actually like, you know, leaving their house and not just being on their computers and their phone. And,
sure.
You know what I mean? Actually living. And that's what these people in this movie were doing. As even Shia LaBeouf even says, I think at one point,
yeah, he's living, he's out here living, not living in a cage.
Eddie the Eagle, which I had thought of Eddie the Eagle just because Eddie the Eagle is, you know, a character that, everybody doubts. And then he just keeps at it, doesn't give up. And, and then when he came out as Peanut Butter Falcon and he was doing the Peanut Butter Falcon, you know, flapping his wings.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, Eddie the Eagle.
Hell yeah.
And then the last one that I thought of, of course, is a movie I love. I actually rewatched it recently after I'd had my eye surgery. I rewatched it because I was watching movies, just hearing them. And Hesher. I love, love, love Hesher. Joseph Gordon-Levitt. He plays this great character, very much a caricature that's almost a real, I don't know. He walks the line of being a Kenny Powers and being a real character like Shia's character in this one. So I just thought of that one though, because you know, at the same time of, you know, Shia's character and even Dakota Johnson's character, them learning something here. You've also got Zach learning quite a bit from Shia's character as well.
Sure.
It's just this, you know, it's this whole picture almost of, again, being open to people, accepting people how they are, and then learning from them. With Hesher, you've got this guy who he comes off as a dick. He comes off as like Kenny Powers, really, just like loves himself, dick, asshole. But he's actually very, very smart and very, very caring. And there's actually some very sweet moments in that movie. And there's some lessons that the family that he just basically, you know, squats in their house that they learn from him. And I just was reminded of that movie with all of those elements. So.
Right on. Yeah, I actually never did see Hesher. I heard good things about it. Yeah.
You got to see Hesher. Hesher. I love Hesher. Yeah. Hesher's great. Joseph Gordon-Levitt, one of his better ones. And it's got Rainn Wilson and Natalie Portman.
Natalie Portman. Yeah.
So, no, it's great.
Absolutely. Right on. Well, why don't I go ahead and do the finished puzzle, and then we'll get into our closing thoughts about the movie. We have got Hunt for the Wilder People, Swiss Army Man, Savannah Smiles, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, Clash of the Titans, Wizard of Oz, Rain Man, Crossroads, Guilt Trip, Little Miss Sunshine, What's Eating Gilbert Grape, Ready to Rumble, Rainbow Time, Into the Wild, Wild, Mud, Joe, Stand By Me, Eddie the Eagle, and Hesher. Great list. Probably could have done without Crossroads, but you are right, though. It absolutely it fits.
I'm
it
never going to mention Crosswords. Come on. Give me Britney Spears.
You get your one chance. So it'll always be at the bottom of our that search page on the website with a little one next to it. But yeah, no, I really, really love this movie. You know, we barely talked about Dakota Johnson. I mean, I think she's fantastic in this. She's so good. And I mean, she really just brings like a real just down to earthness to this character that is like, again, like almost too sweet, but it just rides that line, I think, so perfectly. Shia LaBeouf, I can't say enough about. You know, I've always liked him, but I didn't like him like you like him. I can't wait for these couple of movies he's got lined up that people keep talking about how great he is. Like, I am down for this whole roll of movies that he's got coming up. I can't wait to see what comes next. Everyone, just so many great people. I think I told you on Messenger about someone jokingly on Twitter, I can't remember who it was saying about how this is like the 10th movie John Bernthal is in for like less than 5 minutes. And like, you could stitch them together and make one character arc or something. But
he's in it though, for probably a minute or so.
Yeah, he's great in it though. Everybody is great in this movie, and they just all just really, I mean, they seem like they're just loving making this thing. Like, it's a movie that just, it feels like it matters to everybody involved.
Yeah, no, exactly. It does. It feels like you know, that these people actually like each other. It's like great chemistry between all of them. Yeah, I mean, definitely. I'll tell you this too. You know, a lot of times when you see a movie like this, again, going with the too of it possibly being too sweet, you kind of know what's going to happen. I didn't know what was going to happen with this movie.
Sure.
And they did do a little couple of tricks, I feel like, a couple of times where I was like, oh, and then it boom, switches. So
yeah.
And I actually like that. So it wasn't one where, you know, I knew what was going to happen. Even though you knew they were going to get out of every situation that they get in,
yeah,
you still didn't you know, there's some nice surprises in there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I think that about does it. Do you have another movie you watched recently you'd like to recommend?
What did I watch? You know what? I watched all of the Into the Darks, the Hulu Blumhouse movies.
I heard about that.
Yeah. So they've done 11. I think they've got 12 total. So there's one more coming. They did them, you know, once a month, and they did them themed around whatever, like, holiday. So there's one for, like, Mother's Day, Valentine's Day, and Christmas, Thanksgiving. Anyway, they're great. It's a lot like Tales from the Crypt. You know, you like that sort of thing. It's very much, you know, people, mostly a group of people in a house, and there's some sort of, you know, just different. They're different, even though how similar they are, because you can actually do a lot of things with that. There's just there's one called I'm Just Fucking With You, I think that's the name of it. That's the April Fool's one. And it's at a hotel, and it's actually pretty great. It's very, very weird and dark comedy. And then there's I can't remember any of these names. They're great, though. I mean, I liked all of them except for basically that's what I'll say. I like them all except for one, School Spirit, which is the back to school one. Didn't care for it.
No, it sounds cool. So, I mean, it sounds like an interesting show. I've heard a lot of good things about it.
Yeah. Well, Blumhouse these days is pretty much on fire. I mean, they really are. They do great stuff.
They just announced today a movie where Vince Vaughn body switches with a teen girl or something like that. I'm in already.
So it's like a Freaky Friday or something. I mean,
I guess so. I just read the headline, but
that could be interesting. So yeah. So as long as I want them both on screen, I want him, the girl as him, and then him. I want to see that.
I'm in 100%.
No, speaking of, you know, we're talking about Shia LaBeouf and how it seems like that he's kind of really coming around as to, I mean, I love him. I think he's been doing all kinds of great stuff.
Sure.
I like pretty much everything that he does. But yeah, Honey Boy, I'm super excited for that. But my point was, Vince Vaughn, he's doing some really interesting things too lately.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
So I love the career path that Vince Vaughn is on currently. Very interesting.
Oh yeah. You can say that again for sure. Do you have anything you'd like to plug, Chad?
Well, I'll go ahead and mention Wizard Fest is back. Arlington Wizard Fest, which we did the first year in November last year. It's back this November. Saw, you know, Harry Potter, Wizarding World. It's lots of fun, and hoping to have another a fun year with some new and different things. Some of the things from last year back, but you know. It's coming up pretty soon here into November, but there is a great group behind this event, and it was very, very successful last year, so I think it's gonna turn out good again. But Ironton, that's IRONTON, wizardfest.com, or on Facebook. So
awesome. Well, Chad, I'm glad to get you back. I'm glad that you got through your eye surgery and seem to be recovering well. Would you like for me to start a timer right now for 5 minutes, and you can just unload on Once Upon a Time on Hollywood for 5 minutes? What do you think? You want to do it?
I don't know if I got 5 minutes, but okay.
5 minutes or less. Let's put it that
way. Okay. Okay.
All right. Timer's running. Get your thoughts in.
All right. So yeah, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, I was very, very disappointed. As far as movies I was excited for this year. It was my number one most anticipated movie of the year.
And to be clear, you were supposed to be the co-host for it, in case people don't remember that. So,
And you know, I mean, for the most part, I love Quentin Tarantino's movies, except for Inglourious Basterds. I love almost all of his movies. And I liked this movie less than Inglourious Basterds. I really, really did not like it at all. Where do I start?
Clock's running out, Chad.
I know.
Get to it.
So for me, this movie just felt very anti. The violence was very mean and nasty, and the violence was only against women, minorities, and hippies. It felt very anti-hippie. It wasn't anti-Manson, I didn't feel, just anti-hippie in general. I think had it gone more anti-Manson, had I seen Manson die, that's what I wanted to happen. I wanted Bruce Lee to team up. I wanted Bruce Lee and Pussy to team up with, what was his name, Rick?
Rick
Dalton. Rick, because I did not like Cliff. Cliff, he got what he deserved. but Rick, I loved. I wanted them to team up, go after Manson, and actually, you know, kill Manson. Come on now. Mm-hmm. This movie just very, very much a disappointment for me. I really hated the Bruce Lee stuff. I was offended by that in many ways. The dog, why did it have to be a pit bull? It's very much what I took was that this was, you know, as long as it's a white guy with the gun, and I say that some people mishear that when I say that white guy with a gun, I mean that as a metaphor, because white guy with a dog, white guy with a flamethrower. Okay, so white guy with a gun, as long as you're the white guy with the gun, the day will be saved. And so all they needed, Sharon Tate would still be alive if you had a white guy with a gun who would have been there to save the day. That just offends me there. I think it's tasteless. It to me kind of spits on, you know, the deaths of the people that actually did die. And it's very Trump-like to me. I feel like this is a totally not. And again, I don't think that this is necessarily how Tarantino meant it, but this is how I took it. It feels like the kind of movie that people that love Trump would love, and that they would be all over. And that might offend Tarantino if that were to happen, if they were to jump on board and be like, oh, yeah. Because that's not him at all. He's usually about the minority, you know, rising up. I didn't see this as an underdog movie. And of course, I didn't see it, I think, the way that some people do see it, because they, you know, I hear that, you know, it is an underdog movie, but I just did not see it that way at all. Some good in this movie, though. Leonardo DiCaprio, he's awesome. Dakota Fanning, the Fannings are amazing. She's awesome. That's about it. See, I don't need 5 minutes.
Oh, well, I think I'm gonna go see it again.
So, I'll probably never see it again. I still hadn't seen Inglourious Basterds since I saw it at the theater and was disappointed. Again, I love Django Unchained. It's one of my favorites of Tarantino. I think Pulp Fiction is my favorite, and Django is probably my number two. I loved Hateful Eight. I don't know, this weird fantasy of alternate reality that Tarantino's doing. I don't get it. So
fair enough. All right. Well, I think, I'm glad we gave you the moment to talk about this movie, because I did originally want you to be the co-host. So I'm glad you got to talk about it for a minute. And this was a great episode with, the Peanut Butter Falcon. Everybody go see that. And
yes.
Chad, we'll get you on again soon.
Right. But what's rule number one?
Party.
This is Jay,
Aaron,
and Richard,
and we're the VCR Kids. We rewatch movies from our childhood.
They're mostly from the 80s and 90s.
And we decide whether or not it holds up.
Look up the VCR Kids on your favorite podcatcher and check out some of our past episodes.
We watch Hook, All Dogs Go to Heaven, The Mighty Ducks, and more.
And check out our special episodes where we watch Harry Potter with our friend who has never seen them.
Search for the VCR Kids today. We'll talk at you soon.
All right, so I hope you enjoyed that conversation about the Peanut Butter Falcon with Chad Clinton Freeman, and a little bonus conversation about Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, which, let me just say, I do not agree with anything he said, but you know what? That's his opinion, and he's allowed to have it, I guess, kind of. So anyway, that does it for today. I want to remind you all to please make sure you are subscribed to Piecing It Together on your podcast app of choice. You can rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. You can follow us on social media at Piecing Pod. Join our Facebook group, Popcorn and Puzzle Pieces, where we're about to do a special episode of the podcast that's coinciding with a giveaway in the group. So that special episode is coming up this coming week, and make sure you're joining the groups. That way you can be a part of that contest and win something pretty damn cool. So yeah, check out Popcorn and Puzzle Pieces, the Facebook group that we have connected to the Piecing It Together podcast. Another thing happening is next week, Sunday, September 15th. It's coming up quick. But during the Sin City Horror Fest, we are going to be doing our first ever live episode of Piecing It Together. We will be covering a movie called The Head, which is from director Michael Keane, and it's kind of an ode to shot-on-VHS horror movies of the 80s and 90s. It's absolutely ridiculous. I watched it the other day, and I'm very much looking forward to talking about it. We've got Josh Bell as a co-host on the episode, who, of course, has been on the podcast many times. We also have Drew Marvick, who is a filmmaker here in Las Vegas and one of the organizers of the Sin City Horror Fest. And Michael Keane himself will be joining us as well. So it's going to be a great conversation live in front of the audience in the movie theater. It should be great. We're going to get that recorded. If you can't be in Las Vegas, you're going to get to hear it right here on the podcast. But if you're in Vegas, you should come on out. Tickets for the whole day are only $10, and that includes the live podcast, a screening of the movie The Head, and a whole day of other movies and activities. So definitely you should check that out. You can go to our Facebook to get to the event invite, which also has more details and links to the festival itself and more information about the festival. So that's coming out real soon. We're going to be mentioning it for the next week straight, try to get some people out. I think it's going to be a great time. So that does it for today. Why don't we leave you guys with a piece of music? And you know what? This is a wrestling movie, kind of, the Peanut Butter Falcon. Not really, but I mean, Zach sure loves wrestling, and he's going to the wrestling school, and so I figured, what's a good track I have that feels like something that could be some wrestler's entrance music? That's what I was thinking while I was looking for a piece of music to play today, and I think I have a few tracks that could potentially work, but I don't know if I've ever played Into the Black before, so I'm going to go with Into the Black from my album An Unseen Sky. Enjoy this track, which I think I could see some wrestler playing while coming out, maybe, kind of. So let's go with this track. We'll be back with a whole lot more Piecing It Together coming up next week.
and all points west.